found in the Acts of the Apostles. Yes, I'll be reading this morning out of chapter 2 of Acts, verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to jump over to verse 12 through 15 for your consideration this morning, and supporting scripture coming from Acts, the first chapter, and the 8th verse. The Bible reads this morning, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So they wasn't speaking on their own accord, but the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Verse 12, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meanest this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." In other words, listen to what I got to say about what you just said. "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day." Acts 1 and 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day." We ought to use the thought of subject this morning. We like to talk from the thought, the intoxicating power of the Spirit. The intoxicating power of the Spirit. Yes, yes, yes. Anybody love the Lord this morning? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. If you claim to love anybody else and you don't declare that you love God, then I believe that there might be a problem with the kind of love that you got. Because you got to love God in order to know how to love. Woo. We thank God for our choir this morning, lifting up the mighty name of Jesus. I love the Lord. I love him because the Bible declared that he first loved us. I love the Lord because I can see evidence that he is God Almighty. I love him because he can just speak the word and things will begin to happen. I love him because I can look around in the congregation and see two little children putting their hands together, helping lift up the name of Jesus in song. May not even know the song, but one thing about it, they know that they're in church. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and then they won't depart from it. They may stray, but God will allow them time enough if they are willing to find their way back home. There are many of us in here this morning, we found our way back home. We knew God, we loved God, we served God, and then we got grown and started smelling ourselves. We got out there and did whatever it was that we thought we were big and bad enough to do. But time will bring about some changes. I get excited now. I hear sometimes people will say, you know, I'm getting old. And I remind them that if you either going to die young or you're going to get old. So you have to make your choice. And then in the reality of knowing who God is, you don't really have a choice. It depends upon his will. It depends upon his purpose for your life. Every one of us got our set day. Whether those days be full of joy and laughter, or whether they go through suffering and pain, every day still ought to be a day of thanksgiving. So I'm excited about what the Lord God is doing, not only in Fowles Chapel, but all over the land. Because when we think about the hymn writer that penned down the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Because I realize that there are others calling on my God right now. But how many of you are glad to know that he's a God that can be everywhere at one time, can hear every one of our requests, and already know what we stand in need of? Is there everybody in here I know need a blessing? But is there anybody that will admit that I need a blessing from the Lord? Now, does anybody know that you have got a blessing already this morning and not too ashamed to tell your God thank you? What a blessing it is to be able to come together one more time to worship God and to offer praises unto his name. Truly, the Lord has been and is good to every one of us. And I'm glad to join in with you, my brothers and sisters, this day to exalt and to and magnify the name of the Lord. There ought to come a time that you ought to come out of your comfort zone. There ought to come a time that you ought not be so willing to have control of your body, of your mind, of your spirit. For the Bible declares, quench not the Spirit of God. Don't you know that there are folk that come to God's house that they are scared of the Spirit? They know the Spirit can make you act differently than what you usually would act. And so you hold yourself. You look around at others, and sometimes the doubters and the haters say, well, it does not take all of that. But if you know where your strength comes from, if you know who it was that woke you up this morning, then you ought to be able to claim the victory through the name of Jesus. We all have something that we can tell God thank you for. It has been said so often on a personal note, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out. Now, isn't it good to know that you can't, or nobody else can't control your mouth? A lot of us would like to control other folks' mouth. You ever been hearing somebody that talk all the time? And we do have folks that talk too much. But when it comes to praising your God, you ought not allow nobody to get in your way of telling your God thank you. You ought to have a bold spirit to be able to praise the Lord our God. I heard Gloria through our thin walls this morning claim her dance. And the Lord God allowed her to dance, because when you know that you know that you got something to be thankful for, don't worry about what your neighbor think about it. Don't worry about whether it is timely or not, because when the Lord God has blessed you, any time is a good time to give your God some praise. So now when I think about how good God has been to me, hallelujah to the name Jesus. My very soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for blessing me. I thank God for making another way out of no way. Whew. I've been thanking God all week, latter part of last week. And I shared with you last week that normally I get fatigued and tired out. But last week after all I had, after my treatment, I didn't get tired on that third or fourth day. So when I think of the goodness of Jesus and where the Lord God had brought me from, I don't care whether you want to praise him or not, I'm going to tell my God thank you. Now, there's somebody else in here that God had blessed you in a way this week. That if you just think about how good God has been. Yeah. Woo. There ought to be a praise on your lips this morning. There ought to be a dance in your leg this morning. You ought to have a wave in your hand this morning. Is there anybody here? You ought to give God thanks. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank God. Thank God for keeping me. Thank God for keeping my family. Thank God for keeping my friends. We're here only by the grace and the mercy of a loving God. We ought not think lightly of our blessings. I say it like we used to say it. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. The little things, Lord, I thank you. Increasing my appetite, Lord, I thank you. See, there's something that all you got to do is ask God. But then you got to have some patience and learn how to wait on it. But in the midst of God answering your prayer, you can't give up in despair. You got to keep on pressing toward the mark. You got to keep on believing that somehow, some way, God is going to make a way. How many of you know him as a way maker this morning? So today, we want to talk about the intoxicating power of the Spirit. Intoxicating. Under the influence. Having your mind altered. When some of us get intoxicated, where we usually be quiet and silent, we talk more than anybody else in the house. Don't act like you done forgot. When you are under the influence of something else, you get boldness. How many of you know that there's some folk, we use that term, and they can't handle their liquor. Because it make that mouth run just a little bit too much. It make them say some things that they normally would not say. So because we realize that we look at them and know that they're under the influence, they are intoxicated. Wasn't 7%, 12%, 80 proof, 100 proof. Now if you're able... If you ever been able to drink 100 proof, I know you was intoxicated. Some of us deal with some folk that they have so much intoxication in them that just the smell of it off of them make you feel like you getting dizzy. There are still things in this old world that we can get intoxicated on. But I'm so glad I come to let you know this morning that there's something called the Holy Ghost. Whew. When you get under the power of the Holy Ghost, you can do some things that you never thought that you can do. When you get under the power of the Holy Ghost, I don't care what that devil throw your way, you're able to put up your shield. So today, just for a few moments. Now, if you know anything about the word, I done already preached. But the Holy Spirit, also known as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit is part of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Spirit in the third person, which God, when he departed, left here with us as a comforter, a guide, and a way to keep us, gave us access to his power. You see, you can pray all day, but if you're not praying with no power, you ain't doing nothing but saying words. Every one of us, you don't have to be a preacher to have the power of God. Have you ever went down on bended knees and you started to talk to God about a situation, not necessarily you, but for somebody else, and you say, in the name of Jesus, I declare it to be done. And whether it's immediately or after a while, you began to see the changes come in somebody's life. I'm so glad that you are able to speak a word. And God will hear your humble cry. Why would we say, I'm so glad somebody prayed for me if they can't get a prayer through? The Bible tells us in John 14 and 18 and the 26th verse, where the Bible declares, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We saw an example of that when I first started talking, because I remembered what somebody said at the homegoing celebration about life insurance and cell phones. There's something that we hear and it go in and it go right back out. But that stayed with me for the sole purpose of being able to share it with you this morning, because you might not have been there, but you need to hear how important it is to not only have a cell phone, but have life insurance. If just one person heard what I said this morning and know you don't have life insurance, but it put a thought in your mind, I'm going to check into it, then my sharing has not been in vain. Too many times in being in ministry, I see families that don't have insurance. Got to try to have a sale. Got to try to have somebody to offer you some money. Most of us, self included, don't have no money to give you to help bury nobody. The church is not able to bury you. I don't care how, if you don't have insurance, you definitely ain't paying no tithes and offerings, so I ain't even gonna go there. So you gave nothing, but you expect something from the church. Then you downgrade the church, because they won't open up the finances to take care of what you should have took care of yourself. Yeah. We ought to be able to rejoice in the fact that when Christ ascended from the earth, he didn't leave us all by ourselves. His spirit was left with us to lead us and to keep us and to guide us. And there are all of us that are members of a Baptist church have been baptized in the water. Got wet, got up, went up there and dried and got your clothes on dry. But that don't mean you was converted. You ever heard somebody use the term a wet devil? I better. But we've been baptized in the water. But it's more important that we get baptized in the Spirit. Now, I cannot trust not to be judgmental. I'm going to just think out of the box and think that most of you got some spirit. But now, your spirit undoubtedly does not have the right percentage that you need to have. Because you miss your intoxication. If you got the right kind of spirit, then somebody can cuss you out. And where you used to cuss them right back out, you can hold your tongue now. Wave them off in the spirit. See, it's not all about laying hands on somebody and thinking they're going to fall out. People abuse the power of the Spirit. I don't care if you're a prophet, apostle, whoever you are. The Spirit don't dwell with you in that manner or to that degree always. Every time I see you, you got a prophecy for somebody. Now you must be living mighty close to the Lord. But now, I'm so glad that God has no respect of persons. So you don't have to have a title to get the spirit that I'm talking about. You don't even have to be very outspoken to get the spirit that I'm talking about. And you don't have to let everybody know that you got this spirit that I'm talking about. There's some quiet folk that got more spiritual power than the loudest mouth preacher that you ever seen. As we move along, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them, talking about Jesus, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he will hear you. John truly baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So these 12 disciples that were following along with Jesus, they saw the miraculous thing that the Lord God had done. Had to realize that even though John the Baptist baptized them out there in the river, he wasn't able to give them the power that they needed. So the Lord commands and teaches them, wait until your change comes. Said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. I can't tell you when you're going to die. You can't tell me when I'm going to die. I know folk that went out to hospice, done lived 2 years, came up out of there, and they just as alive today as they were when they went in. Doctor don't know everything. The Bible declares, Jesus says here, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So now, you may know the Bible from front to back, but if you don't have the power or the anointing of God, it won't move nobody. You ever heard, and I know you have, I hope I'm not one of them, but somebody preaching all that they can preach, and you don't feel nothing. No power, no anointing. Intelligent, got the right words to say, know how to put it all together, but they don't have no power. Then the Bible declared, after you get the power, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, just Samaria, and all uttermost parts of the earth. Then when he had spoken these things, while they were looking at him, amazed at what was coming out of his mouth, the Bible declared that he was taken up in a cloud, received out of their sight. So after the resurrection, 40 days, Jesus taught them, guided them, commanded them, and let them know that he was yet the same Jesus that hung on the cross, that was buried in the tomb, that got up with all power in his hand. And wanted to remind them that those things that you saw me do, you will even be able to do greater things, but you got to wait on his power. Bible says, while they looked up and he was taken away, that there were two men that were standing there in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you to heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. So he lets him know that I'm going away, but I'm coming back. But no man know the season. No man know the day. So they return unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Now, in the process, as they were waiting on God, as Jesus had gave them instructions, don't you know it's one thing to see something and not be able to believe it. But I come to share with you this morning. When you see the power of God moving, be careful about how you come out of your mouth. Everybody that say that they got God may not have them. But if you allow and wait on the power and your change to come. See, all by myself, I don't have any power. But when the power of the Holy Ghost began to move in my body, in your body, in your body, I've seen this quiet man here on this organ. Plays beautiful. But if you ever see him get caught up in the spirit, oh, he get red as a beet. He began to make some sounds that would make the organ feel like he's going to jump up and run up off the floor. When the spirit moves like that in somebody, it touches somebody else. The Bible declares, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't the wind, but it was sounding like the wind. And when it got there, the Bible declared there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let me help somebody out. Come on, Coach is not speaking in tongues. That's making noise. There are folk that'll tell you if you don't know the Bible, that unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. But how many of you in here never spoke in tongues but know and declare that I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost? They spoke and the Spirit gave them utterance. And the reason why it seemed like they were just rattling is because now that we live in a diverse nation, when you go somewhere and the Spanish people are speaking Spanish, we don't have no earthly idea what they're saying. But the Bible declares when the Spirit gave them utterance out of all the people from all of the nations, they heard their own native tongue. So now that leads me to believe that out of all of them, every one of them was speaking something different. But the word was not going out void. It was reaching the people that needed to hear it. So don't get caught up in the thinking that because somebody is rattling off and saying a whole bunch of rattling, that they're closer to the Lord than you are. The Bible declares that when they got so amazed at what God was doing, there were some of them that were there. You know how it is, if I really knew a foreign language and I decided to stop speaking English, finish this message off in another language, then somebody said, what in the world wrong with him? What does he mean? I don't know what he's talking about. So they were amazed and they were in doubt, saying to one another, what mean is this? What kind of action is going on? Others mocked and said, they must be drunk. They're on some new wine. Had to be new wine. That's what the Bible declares. Others mocked and said, these men are full of new wine. That wine they've been drinking don't make them talk like that. But they done got a hold of something. Anybody in here ever got a hold of something? Made you change your conversation. Made you realize that things don't look exactly like they seem. But always good to have somebody that don't mind standing up. Don't mind speaking on your behalf. For the Bible declared Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my word. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, unless you got so drunk that you woke up drunk. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. You didn't sleep long enough to get it out your system. But at 9 o'clock in the morning, Peter said, they're not drunken as ye suppose. So in other words, these men are not drunk. But they've been intoxicated by the Spirit of God. That same spirit that Prophet Noah, Joel spoke of, that there would come a day when the Spirit of God would fall on all human flesh. Male and female will begin to prophesy. Daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men dream dreams. Eyesight might have gotten a little bit dim. But God will give you a dream to let you know where he's coming from. So what I come to tell you this morning is that there ought to come a time that you ought to have a Pentecost, hallelujah, experience. You ought to let go of holding yourself. You ought to be able to say, I'm under the power of a loving God. I want to let you know that the things that I used to do, don't have a mind to do it no more. Because now I'm under the influence of an intoxicating power. And that power made me look at my hands. And my hands look new. I looked at my feet. And my feet look new. I opened up my mouth. And new things came out of my mouth. So all I want to let you know is that if you've been baptized by the water, you got to be baptized by the Spirit. And when you get baptized by the Spirit, you can say like these apostles, I was intoxicated by the Spirit of God. We need to get intoxicated. Like a wine up. I'm going to pass this bottle around. And don't be too scared to take your sip. Because that sip might make you feel better. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, you feel better. You got your joy back. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you can say, God, I love you, God, I need you, God, I know that you're a way maker. Anybody know him as a way maker? Anybody want to be intoxicated? I got some 100-proof stuff for you this morning. You're not going to be hungover, laid out. You'll be able to stand as a man or woman of God and say, I got power. And that power comes from on high. Look where God has brought me from. I'm intoxicated this morning because the Spirit, it'll make you run. Where this girl at? It'll make you jump. It'll make you lay down in the floor. Now then, preach. Come on, gal. But I'm so glad that when you get intoxicated by the Spirit of God, it'll put chill bumps on your body. Make you warm all down on the inside. Make you run like somebody's after you. When you get intoxicated, you don't mind telling God thank you. Is there anybody here intoxicated this morning? She just wanted me to preach a little bit more. All right. You're hanging right there in her face. You know, You know you love when you can just talk to folk any kind of way. And they see a patch of that. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning.